Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boys Lip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Lafayette Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Ron is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Did you get me?
Didn't hear you. Right. Yeah. Yes,
yeah.
I'm here.
Okay.
I was like, no, you jumped. I didn't hear anything. I go, uh-oh.
Yeah, I just thought I'd figure I'd let them clap and cheer because it's going to get cold and they're going to need the exercise. It's going to get cold. Okay. I was just talking, too, about how cold it is around the country. Ooh, burr. My daughter just went back to Utah Monday after being on a cruise down in the Gulf, and she went back to 23 inches of snow. I had a young lady in from Buffalo, New York, who said the time she got back today, it was going to be around 30 inches. And so, not stop. It's still moving across the country and moving around. And so, and
well, it's like two or three. Yeah, it's like two or three fronts, I think, going around.
Yeah. Yeah.
We hit the one with that brought us 60 mile an hour winds, and then that was a cold front, and then it, you know, we had a breather, and now it's going to get cold again, and then there's one behind that, I think.
Is there another one? Oh, I thought they tomorrow.
Looks like we hit the two already. I know there were three of them. They said, we got this one this week. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of them down here.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's that time of year. We're not getting the rains, though. That's what's so strange. Usually when we get these cold fronts, it usually is preceded by a squall or something, but we haven't been getting that too much. It's just cold, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Cold for us, yeah. But
right.
It is cold, you know. Parkas, heavy coats, scarves, hat. Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah, that's down here. Mike's still sick, by the way. For those of you who listened last week, he is still letting that bug hang on. Can't get rid of it.
Nope.
I had it.
Annoying.
The question was from Mike to me, how long mine lasts. And it lasts about 3 days. And then I had the cough I was thinking a couple of days, but the cough actually hung on for about 5 or 6 days. And then it finally just faded away. And I realized
I feel better now.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
better now because you said, when we went, when this thing cut us off to do the intro, you, I said, how long did it last? And you said 4 days. And I go, 4 days? I'm going on, today would be the seventh day. And then
yeah.
I didn't hear the rest of it. You said, so your cough actually lasted longer. Okay.
Yeah.
So it wasn't.
Yeah, the cough
just,
hung on there. And the, yeah. the actual cold, the actual being sick was only about 3 or 4 days. But then that cough hung around for 6, 7 days after that. So, so it was.
Okay.
It was fading away and slowly disappearing. And then all of a sudden, one day you realize, oh, I'm not coughing anymore. So it's, that is a good feeling.
Yeah. Hopefully that day is tomorrow.
Hopefully. Hopefully for you it is. Yeah, really. Because that's it gets old real fast.
Yeah.
Just a mistake. You know, last week I said I was going to give everyone what – a special day each day to drink wine, as if we really do need a special day, which we don't. But I was going to give you something that you can drink wine every day, some reason to every day. And I didn't get a chance to last week. I don't know. I forgot or something, whatever. But fill you in last week. Last Friday the 20th was National Cheese Lovers Day. Saturday the 21st is National New England Clam Chowder Day. The 22nd was Winter Fancy Food Show, also the National Southern Food Day, which is even better. Monday, National Pie Day, and I don't mean the P-I, but P-I-E. National Pie Day was Monday. Tuesday, National Peanut Butter Day. And yesterday was National Soup, National Soup Month is this month, but it was National Soup Day on top of it. So that was a double whammy there. It was the center of it. And then tomorrow is Chinese New Year. That's always a good time to drink wine, especially how much the Chinese are drinking wine now. Also, tomorrow is National Blueberry Pancake Day. Saturday is National Corn Chip Day. Sunday, National Croissant Day. Monday, National Hot Chocolate Day. I suppose you can have wine with your chocolate, or make the hot chocolate out of chocolate wine. They have that out there. Let's see, that was Tuesday the first. I think that this on Wednesday. This thing's messed up here. My little calendar shows Wednesday is the first, which is correct.
That's correct.
But it shows the date off. It shows that Monday ending on my little calendar. It shows Monday as the 31st for January. So, oh, well, I don't have something for Tuesday. But Wednesday is National Dark Chocolate Day, so dig out the Cabernets and the Pinot Noirs and have National Dark Chocolate Day. And then Thursday, before we come on the air, not only is it Groundhog Day, but it's also National Tater Tot Day. So that's what we got coming up here for the next week. Blueberry Pancake Day, Corn Chip Day, Croissant, Hot Chocolate, National Dark Chocolate Day on Wednesday, and then Tater Tot Day on Thursday. So, I forgot to give you that last week, so I want to pass that on to you so you would have yourselves proper days and things to celebrate with wine each day. So, which is always important to have something that you can justify drinking that wine.
Why really don't need a reason.
No, you don't. You really don't. No, but still, though, why are you drinking wine? It's National Hot Chocolate Day. You know, I mean, and so that's how I look at it. I mean, if you have something to back up,
yeah,
then it's always good. Always good. Groundhog Day coming up next week, though, so we will not be repeating the program. It'll be
one time only.
And let's see. So we've got just a little bit of miscellaneous. For next week, hopefully I'm going to have a guest on. I need to get over. I emailed her and she hasn't responded yet, but I think she's at that convention. There's a great big wine convention this week out in California at Sacramento. And I believe she's at that. So hopefully I'll get a response from her and we'll get her scheduled and we'll have a guest next week. I will let Mike know so he can post it in plenty of time so that you can check the updates and stuff. And I will also have it on the All About Wine Facebook page. And so you can keep up with it there. So check that stuff and you'll see about the guests and all that. She was a lot of fun when I talked to her for a little bit the other day. So it should be a good interview and it should be fun. The wine this evening is Pappy. P-A-P-I, Pappy. It's an estate-bottled wine from Central Valley of Chile. It says Demisec. And, you know, I got a hint. That's why I probably got a hint of sweet Demisec in it. But Demisec, Cabernet Sauvignon, 2014. It says in the description, Pappy, located in the heart of Chile's famed Central Valley grape-growing region, Pappy portfolio of wines specialize in classic, young, and varietal-style wines. Only select hand-picked grapes and a careful winemaking process allows us to present this new best wine. Discover the Pappy difference. Cabernet Sauvignon 2014, 12% by volume, 750 milliliters. Central Valley of Chile. So that's all it says. It's light. It's fruity. $10 for the bottle. I saw it and picked it up on a whim. And, it's a light cab. You get some nice cab characters. My first few sips, I was getting a hint of sweetness to it. I mean, actual sweet, not just lack of dry, but actual sweetness to it. But, yeah, it's a pleasant wine, pleasant cap. Great for the show. So, we've got other stuff. I'm going to let Mike rest his voice because he's going to be telling you all about the festival that we have this Saturday at the end here. And he's still got that cough and everything. So, did you do your program, your radio show?
Yeah, but I didn't talk very much. I mean, there were a couple of things that I did, but it was, I feel a cough coming on, and I just wouldn't talk. So there you go.
That
let
works.
The music do the talking. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Or let me do the talking. There you go. All right.
Good.
So, we'll let you rest it for a while, and then I'll let you tell about the festival at the end here.
Then
if you don't talk, then I'll know, and everybody else will know if it's because of a first thing, Mike, do you remember I said last week I was going to post something on the Facebook page, and I forgot, and I can't remember what it was I said I was going to post on there. Do you? I was looking through my notes and different things, and I can't remember.
Ron's computer is slow.
Everybody knows that. I don't need to post that.
State of the wine industry for 2017. Topic.
They
just write phrases or topics, but.
I don't know. If anyone out there is really interested, email me. Tell me what it is, and I'll find it and I'll post it. How's that? Okay. Speaking of posting, I found a great, let's see, where's my, oh, there it is. I lost my cursor. I found a great video. And actually, it was a series of videos that I ran across. It was Wine Barrels videos. Let's see if I can, here it is. No, it's not the videos there. Wow. This is on barrels, on oak barrels, some uh, couple of videos on oak barrels. Is this the one, yeah? And it's very interesting. It tells about the barrels. It tells how barrels are made. There's this one very good video on how barrels are made. You can click on others. It was just a nice, interesting series of videos, big barrels and all that. And once you click on the first one here, the others are always on the side like they always do with YouTube. They always pick them up. But I will post this on the Facebook page. This is interesting. If you, it's just some interesting things that they had to point out. We've talked to different people and all that. We haven't talked to a barrel company, and I keep threatening to do that, and I just haven't gotten a hold of someone to be on the program yet. But this video is great. So I will post this on on our Facebook page. In fact, I will make a note right here, right now. Facebook, there you go. So I will get this on there. A good series of videos. One of them is about a company in the United States. Another one is about one in France. And it shows the steps of the barrel making in France and how it's done and everything. They're interesting stuff. So I will get those posted, and you can check those out at your leisure or leisure. Is it leisure or leisure? We've talked before about the biodynamics of tasting wine. And I biodynamic calendar is the calendar that has your ups and down days and your good days and your bad days. And if you follow biodynamics, and I used to, chart biodynamics for people and talk about it years ago. It was very popular in the late 70s, mid 70s, stuff like that. They said, pilots need to check their biodynamic patterns before they fly, and people who are in serious jobs, they need to check their biodynamics before they do stuff and all that. And biodynamics was real popular. It's still out there. You can still check out your biodynamic rhythm or your biodynamic calendar and check your good days and bad days. And I think it's been so long I forgot, but there's four different categories that you check. And if you have four high days, then it's great to do everything. If you have four low days, then stay in bed, because that's not good at all. And they crisscross and all that good stuff. But the reason I brought that up is because I talked about biodynamic tasting a while back. They had a report coming out talking about the difference in the tasting of wines depending on your biodynamic rhythms of your taste buds. There were fruit days and there were root days and different days. And if you were to taste a wine on a fruit day, it would be so much better in tasting than a wine on a root day, because it would bring out the fruit. Now, certain wines will be better on root days. It went on to all this. It wasn't a complete program I dedicated to it, but it was something that I found, and I talked about it at the time. Well, a new paper entitled Expectation or Sensorial Reality. It's an empirical investigation of the biodynamic calendar for wine drinkers. And the authors were Wendy Parr, Dominic Valentine, Phil Reedman, Claire Gross, and James Green. And they asked 19 wine professionals in New Zealand, including a number of oenologists who work in organic and biodynamic ways, to try 12 different Pinot Noirs from various regions, not all from that region. And they asked them to try them on both fruit days that they had and on root days that they had. And wanted to determine by the biodynamic calendar how they did. the taster didn't know the purpose of the tasting, and they were not told they were tasting on a specific day. So it wasn't like there was influence there. The calendar in question was devised by Maria Thune, or Thun, T-H-U-N, around 50 years ago. And it was based on the principles of biodynamics. And she said that the agriculture, viticulture practices coincide with phases of the moon. So should wine tasting correspond with phases of the moon. And she came up with the fact that favorable fruit and flower days occur when the moon moves into Sagittarius, Aries, Leo, and Libra, and also Aquarius and Gemini, respectively, in those orders. The less favorable days, the root or leaf days, is when the moon is in Scorpio, Pisces, Cancer, Virgo, Capricorn, and Taurus. So, you know, if your moon's in these things, the moon's very important. If you're into astrology, the moon is as important as your sun signs, if not more so. And sometimes, you know, you always, when you ask somebody, what's your sign, ask them what their moon sign is. And if they know their moon sign, then they're into it a little bit more. And you can be more compatible with moon signs than you can with just sun signs. They explained to the tasters they wanted to rate each of the four wines twice on a fruit day and twice on a root day using a 20 experimenter provided descriptors. So, you know, it was a wide range of them. You couldn't just make up something else. You had to use something from the list so that they would, you know, keep it at least. Favorable fruit and flowers day. And then the unfavorable days, root and leaf, and they gave them distinct aromas and taste and different words to use so that they would have something that would be consistent and not jumping out into different things. And then at the end, they were given a questionnaire to fill out so they can do it. And after the whole thing, conclusion of the whole thing, after everybody done their tasting, after everything was done, no evidence in support of the notion that wine tastes different in any of the lunar cycles. It's going to be the same regardless of when you taste the wine. The major tenet of biodynamic calendar could not be supported, they said, for wine. The question remains if wine can taste better on some days in comparison to others, and basically, they said there could be things that factor in, like mood or stress levels or influence of hormones or stuff like that. But basically, the tasting of wines on fruit days versus root days had absolutely no difference at all. So, there you go. I talked about the big study that they came out with it and how wine would be better on full days and fruit days. But this New Zealand study says that's not the case. That's not part of it at all. So enjoy it any time. It's going to taste just as good, and it's going to taste fine just about any time. So a recent study out of New Zealand to confirm that. And let's see. Let's get this out of the way, and let's go. That video I will be getting up. That's the next one I was going to look at here. This. I told you a couple of weeks ago I was going to talk to you about this, and I do remember here. Tupac Chuck. There's this blogger here. I didn't go into it a whole lot. I think I mentioned that I found this blog. This is Laura Burgess. Laura, what is this? Oh, we got any advertisement for hockey here. That's continue to content. Okay. And this is StubHub. We don't want StubHub either. Hate it when those things jump up like that. Tubug Chuck, Laura Burgess writes a blog called Laura Uncorked. wine enthusiast, a West Coast transplant now in the foothills of California, Sierra Nevada. So wine region up there. She says she's among some baby grapevines. She said that everyone is familiar with Trader Joe's Charles Shaw wine, $2 chuck. Actually, I think it's $3 chuck now. I think they've raised the price to $1. But it's everyone has heard about it. Everyone is, if you haven't tasted it, they know about it. And it's a $2 wine, $3 wine. It's enjoyed within a few hours of purchase. It's not particularly treated as a wine that you're going to age, and you probably would never consider aging it simply because you get it and down it. In fact, like I've said before, 90% of the wines in the world are consumed within first 30 days. I've heard some reports they say within the first 24 hours. So it's not something you're going to be putting away and trying to age or trying to worry about. And if you are going to age a wine, you're going to be looking at something that's going to cost you a substantial bit more than just $2. But she goes on to say the flavors and aroma change significantly over time, whether it's a $2 bottle or a $2,000 bottle. Air moves in and around and through the cork. A number of years ago, I had a couple of people I respected very highly in the wine industry who told me that wine doesn't breathe through the cork. And I'd always heard that it had, and I've read things since then. So it does. But to politely disagree with those two who said that it doesn't, it does. The wine does move around in the cork. It does make a difference in all that and breathes through the cork. That's why screw caps and plastic and rubbers and stuff that usually aren't aged, because it will not do that little bit of breathing. So, but the as the air moves in now the cork, it comes the alters the compounds and flavors and reduces the tannins and the fruit and gives it a lot of velvet texture on the tongue, if you will, more than earthiness. The wine of $2 chuck is never considered as a aging wine. You buy an expensive Charles Shaw Cabernet Sauvignon or a Crosby Cabernet or even a Bogle Merlot, then you know, you don't think about aging those either. You just grab a glass and open them up and that will be it. But recently, Laura Burgess here decided that she would age some. So she was gifted a bottle of 2002 Charles Shaw Cabernet, which is still valued at $2 if you go through the and get things on it. And she was eager to compare this 14-year-old bottle with a 2-year-old counterpart, one that you can get at the store, and even 2 years is old for a $2 chuck. But here's what she found. This is Laura Burgess's tasting notes. It's not by anyone else or anything else, just Laura Burgess. So not saying that she's good or bad or whatever she's doing on this, but at least she is got some knowledge. So we'll give her the benefit of the doubt. She says the appearance of the $2 chuck as it reges, its color goes from deep purple to purple to lighter shades of red and eventually brown. White wines fall in the opposite trajectory, turning golden and then brown. Brown wine is like yellow snow. You shouldn't drink it. Or as a brown color indicates, a wine has been oxidized and it won't taste good. Color-wise, the transition was clear between the two chucks that she tasted. The 14 Cabernet was deep purple and totally opaque, while the 2002, there was a stark difference. The old wine had more red than purple, and she says she can see through the edges, and it wasn't brown. So, wow, a 12-year-old, well, more than that. It's, this is 16, it's 14-year-old two-buck chug because didn't go oxidized. At bottling, most wines, this is the aroma, burst with fresh fruity aromatics, and these are the primary flavors. Over time, oxygen interacts with these compounds, and it gives it more of a secondary flavors. The non-fruit aromas, that's where you get the leather, tobacco, dried flowers, dried fruit, raisiny, things like that. And these are all secondary aromas that you usually find in an aged wine. And as with two-buck chuck and most wines under $10, a brand new one will explode with fruit flavors and maybe some oaky scents. She said her 2014, her brand new one, she picked up blackberry, black cherry, plum, cassis, and loads of vanilla, which is oak. And she said it was pretty pleasant, and it was something she was looking forward to having with steaks or a burger. The 2002 was much more mild. She had to look for the aromas in the wine. There was a lot of dried fruit and some herbs. Definitely less intense. Secondary aromatic replaced the fruity flavors, and wines often became less vibrant and more muted. So it wasn't bad. It was along the lines of an aged wine. Excuse me. And then the taste. Now, this is the key here. As aromas mellow, so do flavors and tannin in wine. And the Cabernet, for example, usually pretty punchy and all that. 10 years later, it tends to disappear and mellow out, gives you some more mellow flavors and taste. The 2014 Cab had tannins and really drying out of the mouth. The same flavors that she smelled also came across on the palate, the blackberry, cassis, plum. The 2002 was subdued on the palate. There isn't much fruit flavor, just some dried cherry and fig. And there was no tannins, just non-existent. It was, she said, a mellow, simple, pleasant red wine. Something that she imagines being served on Downtown Abbey. She said she preferred the current two-buck chuck over the aged one. The experiment showed the process of aging so starkly, and the wine tasting adventure was important to decide what you want, expensive and aged or young and fresh, and then follow your type. But she finished it up by saying, are you ready to try the two-buck chuck experiment? And if you are, let her know. If you have already tried it, let her know. And then a little note at the end, don't drink brown wine, which is always a good rule to follow regardless. But why? I shared this with you. I read this. Why? Why age two-buck chuck? It's not meant to be aged. It's not meant to be set around for 10 years or 14 years or any number of time. It's meant to be drank. And what is it going to accomplish by trying to age it? I suppose you can if you're looking for something to write a blog about or if someone's going to give it to you. But I think overall, if you're going to if you're going to spend the time and effort and energy for a wine that you're going to age, you're going to want to do it with one that you're actually looking forward to doing that, and not one that you're going to only spend $2 on and possibly not have one that's going to be any good at the time that you're going to drink it. And something else I wish she had stated in her blog was the two-buck chuck that she was given from 2012. How was it kept? Where was it kept? Who had it, and what was the storage facility that was in? Because that's going to make a big difference, too. I mean, if you're going to age a wine and put it in a pretty little wine rack above your refrigerator at home, then that's going to cause it to go bad pretty quickly. But if you're actually going to put it in a climate-controlled cellar and something like that, then you're going to end up with a decent wine. So, bottom line, her experiment was good. I just wish she'd went into a little bit more on a couple of things, like how it was aged, where it was aged, and stuff like that, and then we can get more of a comparison. Because any wine, if aged properly, I think is going to have more of a chance of turning out well as opposed to one that is not aged properly. So, Two Buck Chuck being aged. And I think that's the last one. Yeah, the 11th. Yeah, that's the last one out of this batch I wanted to do. And let's see. 12th. Oh, nothing on the 12th. Oh, Wine Folly. That's why that's not on there. Wine Folly. Wine Folly newsletter. I get different newsletters, too. And I'm gonna share this with you, too, a couple of three things here. I get different newsletters that are very interesting. Wine Folly newsletter is one of them. The Wine Folly newsletter, WineFolly newsletter, Wine Folly newsletter. It's fun. It's got different things. You don't get swamped with things in your inbox and all that. It's, you know, a couple times, three times a week about it and stuff like that. And a lot of interesting stuff in there, different interviews and just things about wine and wine stuff. They have they talk about different trips and all sorts of different things on there. So check that out. It is an e-letter you can subscribe to, but Wine Folly newsletter, and that's always good for information and everything. The oops, that one disappeared real fast. What happened there? There's some blogs. This isn't what I wanted. Huh. Why did that pop up? Next thing I'm going to talk quickly about here is restaurant wine prices. This is also another blog. We've mentioned on restaurant wine prices in the past. We talked about the bottle of wine in restaurants is usually three times markup. And some areas, New York City and things like that, or Chicago, they're starting to do as much as five times markup in some of the restaurants. There's also the possibility, too, of corkage fees. If you take your own bottle, and some restaurants will let you do that, call first to be sure that it is okay. But someone will let you bring in your own bottle of wine. If you have something that you're saving for a certain meal or something, you can bring in your own bottle of wine, and they will charge you a corkage fee, which simply means that as soon as you get there, you give it to them, and then when you want it, they'll charge you $10, $15, $20, $25 to store it until you're ready for it, then bring it out, open it, serve it, do the whole thing just like them. But it's a corkage fee, which is, you know, when you start getting up to $25 corkage fee, I think that's too much. But I suppose, you know, it depends on the restaurant you're at. It's reasonable. This restaurant wine prices explained. This is also from a blog by the Wine Curmudgeon. This was posted just last week. Restaurant retail winery charges $5. You pay $13. Restaurant winery charges $5. You pay $30. Now this one is talking about six times markup. Now that's I don't know of anyone that does it that much, but he says that. Restaurant prices bewildered us over years, and never more so than the last 18 months. Now, it doesn't say where he's from, and I think that might make a difference, too, because different areas are really do go into it. But restaurant wine sales are sluggish, and prices are high, and he doesn't understand why the correlation there. he's written about this in a blog before. He's interviewed experts, and they were just as baffled as everyone else. Talked to restaurant types, and they all will hem and haw and have nothing to justify the high prices. Until now, he says. He spent the last couple of days perusing mixed beverage tax receipts compiled by the state of Texas. And he said the answer has become abundantly clear. Many restaurants don't sell wine or enough wine to make it worth their while to carry it and hold it. And those that do sell it don't have a reason to do so. So there's millions of reasons not to carry wine. And it's true if you think about it. I mean, if you're going to get yourself a decent wine portfolio to serve it properly, you really should have places to keep it and age it and have it available and all of that. That's why it always fascinates me that Olive Garden offers wine by the glass and such a big variety of wine by the glass, because it's, you know, it's a an iffy thing to have some bad wines. He stated here that in September 2016, nine restaurants in the state of Texas sold more booze than the highest-ranking strip club. And strip clubs exist to sell overpriced alcohol. He said that's nine restaurants, not chains, that did $800,000 in alcohol sales. The best the strip club could do was $551,000, which is just $4,000 more than the 10th best restaurant in the state. So he said that's more than $6 million a year for the top 10 restaurants, and every time he looked at the list, he found something else that stunned him. He said a restaurant where he had lived had many wine lunches, and where the wine list is quite ordinary, $1 million a year. Another food chain, he said, listed them at $400,000, and chain Chinese restaurant in the north suburbs had $500,000 in wines listed. He said, this explains it all. How much more could you sell if you priced the wine fairly? He'd like to think that the marking up for the wines four times wholesale is the result, but he said that's, he's one of the good guys looking at that. Three times has usually been the standard. Now, maybe it is four times now. I don't know. Anyone out there is having wine in restaurants and no prices at retail and what that restaurant is selling you, let me know. I've always considered three times as a standard, maybe four in some areas and five in some things, but some people are telling me that they paid six times markup in New York. So that's a little bit ridiculous, I think. I mean, you go out and buy yourself a bottle, $20 bottle of wine, you're spending $120 for it. That's, you know, Corky's fee has to be less than that. Caveats of the article, he says. The totals here include beer, wine, and spirits. And the restaurant business in Texas may not be representative of other states. He's still trying to compare apples to apples. He didn't include any Mexican restaurants in his analysis because margaritas would boost sales in every Mexican restaurant, and they usually don't sell wine. The restaurants he was quoting were medium to high-end, and many of them were steakhouses, which, you know, steakhouses, when people go there, wine is usually the go-to beverage, I think, more than anything else. So markup. Three to six times at a restaurant, expect to pay that much. And, you know, that's just, to me, it's too much. You know, when you're paying up to six times, if the bottle only costs you $5 and you're paying $30, yeah, okay, I can spend $30 for this bottle of wine. But if the bottle costs $25, when and then your six times markup, you're plopping down $150 for a $25 bottle of wine, you just have to say, "Ooh, wait a minute, I can't do this. This is not going to work." So, let's see, restaurant wines, and here we go, 17. There's quite a few different ones here on this. Cork closures, where is that? Uh, There we go. Cork closures. Special report on cork closures. Hit on this lightly here about cork closures. This is a pretty long article. We've talked about cork lots of times. We had a cork expert on the show, which if you have not listened to that show, by all means, go back and pick it up and check it out. It was extremely interesting. But this article, removing a cork from a bottle of malt whiskey only takes a moment, though its journey to the bottle is a long one, and the age of the tree that supplied the cork generally exceeds that of malt whiskey it seals. The cork tree is indigenous to the Mediterranean, with the greatest concentration of cork tree forests in southern Portugal. The roots of the tree go deep into the ground to gain water, and the leaves are very good sunshade. This is exceptionally important, enabling the tree to cope with the hot summers. Apart from some pruning, cork trees don't require much maintenance. But they do require patience. If you want to make a business for your grandchildren, plant cork trees. This is because it usually takes around 25 years before the bark from a cork tree can be harvested for the first time. However, this first harvest, known as virgin cork, is too rigid to use for cork stoppers and is usually used for flooring and sound insulation and stuff like that. Then it takes the tree 9 more years to regenerate another layer of bark, which can be harvested. And with the second harvest also used as flooring and sound insulation. It is not until the third harvest, or another 9 years later, that the cork has become flexible enough to be able to produce stoppers. Wow. So you're looking at 25 years for it to grow, harvest 9 years, harvest another 9, and then you can start making wine corks. So that's, amazing. 43 years to wait. At least the average life cycle of a tree is 220 to 250 years, which enables it to give you around 15 to 17 harvests for stoppers, which is actually the most lucrative use for cork. When you use cork for flooring and corkboard, everything else you can think of, the most money that you can get out of it is using it for stoppers, for wine and spirits and all that. Harvest usually takes place in May to August, when it's easier to peel off the bark, and the level of sap present between the cork bark and the underlying surface of the tree trunk is higher during this period, but it's a very delicate, skilled operation. We've talked before that it's you go through an apprenticeship. You go through apprenticeship for a number of years to be able to successfully harvest and do the tree take off the cork properly. Harvesters use a particular type of axe to carefully peel off the bark without damaging the tree. Otherwise, successive harvests will be compromised or even prevented. So that's the reason you don't want to peel off too much. Only about half of the tree's bark is peeled off during each harvest, which may cause temporary stress to the tree, but also makes the bark grow back more vigorously. So there you go. Don't go all the way down to the quick, if you will. Following the harvest, planks of bark are carefully stacked in open air to dry, which takes anywhere from 6 to 9 months. The cork planks are then boiled in water, which increases the thickness of the cork, while also removing any foreign objects, dust, insects, and all that that's embedded in the cork itself. Natural spring water is used, not tap water, because tap water contains chlorine, which reacts with naturally occurring microorganisms, which hence TCA, or 2,4,6 trichlorinolone salt, which is a corked wine. The human nose is particularly sensitive to this odor, and so it renders the wine undrinkable. It should, anyway. Another safeguard is steam cleaning the cork to remove any residual microorganisms with TCA potential. That is something else that's done. Additionally, batches of corks are analyzed during the process to check for TCA microorganisms. Finally, cork planks are cut into strips from which individual cork stoppers are punched out, either manually or mechanically, and then attached a head, if you're going to use a barred top like for whiskeys and stuff, is attached to the corks. The corks that are going to be used for whiskey arrive in an airtight bag that usually has been treated with a gas, inert gas, so that it doesn't pick up any chemicals or anything else. The cork possesses a natural flexibility, which comprises millions of minute cells that each contain air, which is actually trapped within the cell. This means that after the cork is compressed into a bottleneck, the cork being slightly larger than the opening, the air within each cell attempts to expand and regain its original dimensions, forming the airtight seal. Everybody out there is going, oh, okay, yeah. And that's how it works. So, cork. We've talked to a cork person, but that's a little bit more detail about the actual thing there and how it's done and all that. Interesting little article. So, I didn't get everything done tonight, but we had a call coming in, so didn't get a chance to do everything. But we will continue on next week. I'll let Mike tell you about coming up this Saturday.
Yes, Saturday the 28th of January, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. It is another wine fest. And I'll tell you about it in about a minute and 15 seconds.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flewn.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That's right. And I forgot the last part. Constantine will be on hand to provide some very, very good music out underneath the, like a gazebo thing. I forgot what you call it. Uh-oh. Ron has disconnected. Dun, dun, dun. There is a problem. Do not end the episode. We will continue. Ron disconnected, so I have no idea if we're actually on the air or if we're not on the air. It says we're still on. See if he jumps back in there. Because if I continue and we're not actually on the air and it's silent because he's not on. He's like the host of the show. Well, he is the host of the show, but he controls the show being on or not on because he has a different access when he calls in as the host. You see how that works? So when he's not on here before the show starts, then the show doesn't start because the host technically hasn't logged in or you know, called the special phone number and put all this information on there. So we're kind of stuck, and hopefully he realizes it soon. Back in here. Otherwise, I could be talking to myself. Dun, dun, dun. And he's still not on the switchboard, but it shows that we're still on. So I don't know if that's audio is actually going through. That's interesting. We'll have to go back and listen to it. It'd be fun if you could hear all this. So I don't want to continue on with this, not knowing if the audio is actually going out, because we're waiting for the host to call back. So call back in, Ron, and we'll continue. We will continue. I wonder if I could play this, if it would actually play. I don't know. If this plays, then we're probably still on. It is on. I wonder if we're still on the air. There he is.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, you there? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here. I had to call in. I'm sitting there, and I clicked out to try to clear the screen so I can go back to the studio, and
yeah,
the whole thing just left. It just went away. And
well, I'm wondering if we're on, if the audio was on. I just played a sound effect, and it went. I could hear it, because normally, if you're not on, like as the host, then
yeah,
doesn't the show shut off, because the shows were still on?
Well, maybe we are. I can't close it down, because I just tried to click on it here, and it connected to Google Earth. Huh?
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. I don't know what's going on. This computer is very old, and I keep saying that, and I keep talking about that and everything. But
well, let's continue. Let's continue on as if we are going out and over the air, and we'll end it whatever like we normally do, and then we'll go back. I'll go back later and listen to the end part and see if it's, because I was sitting here going, I could tell you the rest of the Winefest information, but I don't know if this is going through or not.
Yeah, I don't know. It just cut me off. It just, the screen cleared. It didn't cut me off. The whole thing just, we're done. And that was it.
Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and finish this part, because it shows we're still on air and the sound effect played. So I'm guessing we're still, because normally you have to be on as the host, with the special numbers and stuff.
Let's see. I just pulled up studio here, so I've got the studio up, and it shows you're not connected. Please call in, host pin. Okay, so it shows it's not connected here.
On your side.
It shows host disconnected.
But
shows
the light host, up at the shows on air on my side.
Yeah, well, it shows, it doesn't. It shows on mine, it says host disconnected 25 minutes ago. I don't know. Well,
okay.
Go figure out whatever you can do. And
Constantine's
going to
be
here
playing the music, and there's going to be a lot of vendors out there. It's going to be a great time. Enjoy visiting the vendors, and shopping is always fun. You can pick up unique gift items for friends, family members, or yourself. And the weather's going to be, I believe it's going to be fantastic this weekend. So,
cool, but fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be cool. No snow, but it'll be cool. Come on out and enjoy Saturday at Florida State's Winery. That's the 28th for Winefest, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if you're still tuned in here, I'm not sure, we'll go ahead and close the show. I'm anxious to hear it, because
I don't know what's happening
for next time. Sometimes it's just like neither one of us are on. So we'll see you back here next Thursday. That's February 2nd at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's what?
Groundhog Day.
You say holiday? What did you say? Holiday. I was like, what? Groundhog Day. Okay.
Holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I might be left. Yeah, we'll see you here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a good one, and thanks for tuning in. And keep drinking wine. It's good for you. All right. I'll play the outro, and we'll go to the regular green room and see what happens here. All right. Take it easy. Thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Bye.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery. Florida State's Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida State's Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Welcome to Metro PCS.
Hi, I heard you're giving free phones to everybody?
Yes, right now everybody gets a free phone. You and your friends, cousins, neighbors, roommates.
What if I'm already with Metro PCS?
Yeah, it's for existing customers, new customers, people named Willie, dog lovers.
That's awesome.
Everyone gets a free phone at Metro PCS. Come choose your select free phone from brands like Samsung and LG. Metro PCS, wireless figured out. Sales tax not included. Phones free after instant and mail-in rebates. Upgrade fee may apply. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.